you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me say what a joy it is to be here with you this morning on this special occasion. And when he was singing, "Somebody Touch Me," I know when I gave my heart to the Lord, there wasn't a calendar handy. I was saved in the bathroom at our preheater company in Marion. I didn't know what day it was. I just knew I was saved. My sins were forgiven, and I praise the Lord for that. But it's wonderful to know that we are saved and we're going to heaven. It doesn't matter what happens in the future. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to remember that and praise the Lord for that. While you're turning, Hebrews chapter 11, I was just thinking about Mount Carmel and how far back I go. And I can remember the old church. I can remember being carried out of the service in my mother's arms. I can. I remember it was raining and the rain was hitting my face, and I can remember just being in my mother's arms, just as plain as day, being carried out the door. Brother Mac Hodge was pastor here, I believe, and every once in a while, and I remember it very well, I'd lay down over here, it was sort of up to the front, and I'd try to catch up on my sleep. Well, if you know Mac Hodge, you know that you're not going to catch up on your sleep, and I was just dozing off one time, and Mac kind of slapped the pulpit, and I thought that devil he was preaching about had me. But then, too, I remember slipping out of church after Sunday school and not coming up to preaching, and me and Kenneth McClellan would go out in his daddy's 57 Chevrolet and listen to the radio during preaching. And then I remember standing in front of this altar and saying I do to the most beautiful little girl in the world.
Amen.
We're still waiting to see if it's going to work 45 years. We hope it does.
Amen.
45 years ago, we said I do right here in front of this pulpit. So I have some fond memories in this church. I truly do. And it's a joy to be here and just to share this special time with you. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning with verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be where we are. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon the service. We pray, Father, that you would give me the words you'd have me to say and the freedom and the liberty to say them. I pray, Lord, that I'd do nothing to draw attention to myself, but that all that's said and done would be to bring glory and honor to the lovely name of Jesus. If there's a need in any way, in any heart in this sanctuary today, I pray that need would be met through Jesus Christ. Thank you again, Lord, for your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We think about homecoming, and we compare that with the text that we read in your hearing, and we see the comparison here, and we realize that as Abraham was looking for his home, and that's where we're going, he was on a journey home. He didn't know where the home was, didn't know how long it was going to take him to get there, and didn't know what he was going to have to go through before he got there, but he was looking for that home. All of us are. You know, if you've been saved by the grace of God and you were able to stand just a few minutes ago, then you too are looking for that home, a home. And so when we think about that, we want to get into our message. And as we look at the background of Hebrews 11, we see that there was trouble brewing in the Jewish community. And there were some of the people, because of all the opposition and because of the things that were going on, they decided that maybe this Christianity thing just wasn't for them. And they wanted to turn back to Judaism. They got to the point where the special offerings and decorations and the elaborate temples appealed to them more than a cross. The offering, that offering was like an invisible faith to them, and they liked to see something. They liked to touch something. They liked to feel something. They liked to be involved in it. But yet here they're hearing, and they accepted it by faith that Christ came and did all that for them. And so now they're kind of wondering, is that true? Is that true? Well, throughout this chapter, it speaks about this invisible faith and how it's needful for each one of us to reach our destination. Now, our destination, remember, is home. Our destination is home. And in order for us to reach our destination, we all have to accept that invisible faith and accept Christ as our Savior. Well, all of these heroes of faith were traveling the same road, and I hope it's the same road that you're traveling. Let's talk about our journey home for a little while this morning. Our journey home. Well, what do we need? What do we see here in our text as we look at the journey home that Abraham was taking? And as we think about Abraham, well, folks, I'll tell you, I believe if I wanted to travel with anybody, it'd be Abraham, you know. I believe if anybody was close enough to God to receive the blessings of God, I believe it'd be Abraham. And you know from reading and studying Scripture that that's a fact. So let's look a little bit about what Abraham had and what some of the things he had that allowed him to make this journey. And the first thing we see here is their aspirations or their goals. What were those goals? What were their aspirations? What was it that they aspired to? What did they want? What were they looking for? I want you to remember now that Abraham's horizons were not limited to his present surroundings. Abraham just didn't look about him and see Canaan. Abraham just didn't look around him and see the camels and the mules. He didn't just look around him and see all the goats and all his possessions. Abraham's vision wasn't limited just to what he saw around him. Abraham was able to see beyond the horizon. Amen. I want you to notice here for just a minute what some of their aspirations or goals were. And the first thing that we see here was their security. They were interested in security. Look in verse 10. He says here, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations." Hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now remember, they'd been living in tents. They'd been living in tents. Bible says down there a little farther that they had been living in tabernacles, and which is a tent. And their goal was something that hath foundations, something that they can put down and it'll be permanent, something that they can count on. The wind's not going to blow it away, and no wild animal's going to come in and walk through the door, and nothing's going to come and disrupt them when they've sat down to dinner. And they just wanted something that had a foundation to it. And they knew that anything that God built had that foundation. And anything that came from God had that foundation. We notice here that they wanted security, but they also wanted stability. Because they said, whose founder and maker is God. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. Here they were. here they were on that journey and they didn't know where they were going. We know that God just came to Abraham, said, Abraham, I've got a journey you need to take. And Abraham said, where we're going, God said, I'll tell you when we get there. Now that took faith, friends.
Yes.
That took faith. And Abraham had two goals. He had two aspirations on this journey. First of all was that he wanted security for him and his family. Secondly, he wanted stability for him and his family. But I want you to notice that he realized that the security and the stability both came from one direction, and that was the direction of God. He said here in verse number 10, whose builder and maker is God. And he realized that there is no stability and no security that comes anywhere else.
That's right. Amen.
Friends, we think about the nation we're living in today, and we think about the times we're living in. Last night in my study, I pulled out an old outline, and it really spoke to me, and it was about as it was in the days of Lot. And you know the Bible teaches us that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we think about that for just a minute, and how unstable our nation is, how unstable our security is, and how unstable everything that we have is. And friends, our only security, our only stability, it's in a relationship with God. And if you don't have that relationship with God, you better get it today.
Yes. Amen.
It's not going to be long until Christ comes back. You can look at the signs, and you can look at all the signs in the Word of God where the Lord says, you know, when you see these things come to pass, you know that my coming is near. And we need to realize that we better be ready.
Amen.
We better be ready. You say, well, preacher, I was able to stand up and say I saved on a Monday. I was able to stand up and say I saved on a Wednesday. But you better make sure, more so than having a date in your mind, you better make sure that there's Jesus in your heart.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
I was a church member for about 15 years before I got saved. Mm-hmm. Went to the altar when I was about 9 years old down at Pine Branch Baptist Church. Well, I didn't go on my own accord. Somebody come and got me and took me up there, and they baptized me, and I was on the church roll for about 15 years. And somebody started to witness to me, and I'd say, well, I've been saved. But I hadn't.
That's right.
I hadn't. My name was on a church roll, and I used that to hide from God. I used that to hide from other Christians, but I wasn't saved. I couldn't feel anything in my heart except fear. I didn't have the security. I didn't have the stability that Abraham had. I didn't have what all the other heroes of faith had. I had fear, and I didn't want anything to do with the Word of God or the preaching of God's Word or God's house. I didn't want anything to do with prayer. I didn't want anything to do with any of that until one day Jesus stepped in.
Amen.
Praise. Friends, listen. This may be your day. Mm-hmm. I want you to notice something else. We see, first of all, their aspirations are gold. But I want you to notice also their inspiration. What was it that kept them going? Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Their inspirations. What was it that kept them going? First of all, that spiritual satisfaction. That spiritual satisfaction. The Bible says that they were persuaded. They were persuaded. That's what that means, is spiritual satisfaction. And so on their journey, they always had the knowledge that they were satisfied spiritually. They had the knowledge that they were doing what God would have them to do. They were in the will of God completely in their journey. They didn't know where they were going, didn't know where they were going to put down roots, didn't know what was going to happen in their journey. But my friend, they had total and complete spiritual satisfaction Because they were persuaded that they were in the will of God.
Amen.
I don't care where you are or what you're doing. You can be in the hospital. You could be at home sick. You could be completely wiped out financially. A million things could happen. But my friend, if you're in the will of God, you will have that spiritual satisfaction about you, and you will still have joy in your heart.
Amen.
That it's absolutely, absolutely unable to you can't explain it.
Amen.
But you have to be in the will of God to do it. Abraham and the other heroes of faith were in the will of God, so therefore they had that spiritual satisfaction. Secondly, they had faithful acceptance. Now I want you to notice something here. The Bible says that they were persuaded of them and embraced them. Persuaded of them and embraced them. What were they persuaded of and what did they embrace? The promises of God. They were persuaded of them. They had that spiritual satisfaction of the promises of God. And then if you notice, they embraced them. They embraced them. And the word embraced, by the way, in the Greek means to put your arms around joyfully. To receive joyfully. And here they were. They had the promises of God. Even though they were out there running around in the wilderness, didn't know where in the world they were headed. And yet the promises of God were there and made known to them. And they reached out and received it joyfully. And put their arms around them. And friends, we have the promises of God today that we can receive joyfully. And not even have to worry about it.
Amen.
God says it's going to be all right. God said, just look to me. God said, just trust me. Just trust me. I remember whenever the Lord cursed the fig tree and they came back the next morning and some of the disciples were absolutely amazed that the fig tree had withered up. I mean, they knew the Lord and they knew His power, but yet some of them were just amazed that that fig tree had withered up after the Lord had cursed it and said, you'll never bear fruit again, and it withered up. And the Lord just told them, hey, have faith in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God. And everything in your life may be withering up and it seems like that there's nothing left for you to hope in. But my friend, you do have hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. And I can assure you that in the end, we win. I've read the last chapter in the book and we win. We win. And nothing can ever take that away from you. Nothing. Nothing. They embraced the promises of God. God has promised in His Word. And you look about us today in this nation, and friends, things are getting mighty bad. Things are getting mighty bad. And I can assure you, things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse before the Lord comes back, if He doesn't come back soon. I hope He'll come back before we leave this place.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter how bad things may get. It doesn't matter how bad economically. It doesn't matter how bad spiritually. It doesn't matter how bad we may get physically. I can assure you that we still have the promises of God. God is still on the throne. Nobody has ever dethroned Him. And God is always as good as His promise.
Yes.
Always. You remember what He told Abraham? Said your descendants are going to be as the stars in the sky, and as the sand on the seashore. I mean, the man was 100 years old, and his wife was 90 years old. In fact, the Lord described Abraham as being as good as dead.
Right.
How'd you like the Lord to describe you that way? But look what came! Look what came! The promises of God. They stood on the promises of God. They accepted them. They embraced them because they knew that the promises of God were true. And guess what? They were fulfilled.
Amen.
They were fulfilled. And the promises of God will always be fulfilled in your life, in everybody's life that accepts Him, everybody that receives a promise from God. And this precious word right here is full of the promises of God. And there's not one place in here that you can ever show me that a promise from God didn't come true, because it has and it will. And we can trust on. We can trust it. And we can rely on it right on to the last breath that we take.
Yes, amen.
The very last one. Their inspiration was spiritual satisfaction. They were persuaded. Their faithful acceptance. They were embraced. And then we see a simple declaration here. Their inspiration was based on a simple declaration that we find here. He says, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We've heard that all our life. We've heard that. Strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. We're just strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. That's a fact. We are. But I want you to notice what this really means here. The word strangers means away from home. That's the original Greek. Away from home. And we are. We're away from home. We've come to this homecoming today in order to renew old acquaintances. And we've come back to where we worshiped many, many, many years ago. And we enjoy being back in the sanctuary. But my friend, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. We're still strangers. But notice what else it says. We're also pilgrims. And you know what pilgrims means? On our way home. Strangers, we're not home, but pilgrims, we're headed that way. We're headed that way. Friends, listen, that's biblical. That's biblical. We're not home yet, but we're headed that way. And one of these days, that old trumpet's going to sound, and I can assure you that all of us who've been saved by God's grace are going to head off, and we're going to that precious, beautiful place that Christ is preparing for us right now.
Amen.
Old black preacher was preaching one time. He's preaching on the second coming. And he said, you know what, folks? He said, I believe Gabriel's wetting his lips.
Amen.
And I do too.
Yes, sir.
I do too. So you see, they had their aspiration. They had their inspiration. They also had their dedication. Their dedication. Look in verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Notice what it says there. It said, when it says being mindful, if they had been mindful of that country, it said if they had just thought about it just right. That's what it means. If they had thought about it, they might have just turned around and returned. But I want you to notice they were dedicated to what they were doing. They kept their mind and attention on the promises of God. God had promised them that there was a destination. God had promised them that there was a blessing. God had promised them that they'd be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. They had God's promises to bank on. So my friend, they didn't think about going back. They were standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. No going back. They were dedicated to the cause. Dedicated to the cause. Now, you know, of course, there's always a few murmurers, and there's always a few that's disgruntled, and always a few that thinks it could be better, and always a few that thinks they'd rather be back living in tents and watching the herds, and everything was all right back there, and here we are out in the middle of nowhere, and we don't know where we're going, don't even know where we've been. And here you are telling us we have to wait on the promises of God. I don't even know if God knows where we are or not. But I can assure you He did.
Amen.
And I can assure you that He had their destination in mind, and I can assure that when they got to their destination, that they were there, they were in the will of God. God was going to bless them. God did bless them. God continued to bless them. And friends, just look through their history.
Amen.
How they grew. And how they grew. And how they grew. Yeah, they turned their back on God. But that wasn't God's fault, was it?
That's right.
That wasn't God's fault. But they were dedicated to the plan of God in their life.
Yes, sir.
Now I ask you, how dedicated are you to the plan of God in your life? You say, preacher, I don't know any plan that God has for my life. Yeah, you better. You better. God does have a plan for your life. It may be to witness to your next door neighbor. It may be that you start reading your Bible and praying more, or that you might be able to find the will of God, but God has a will for every single person here. God's will for us is to praise Him every single day. God's will for us is to pray every single day. God's will for us is to read the Word of God. God's will for us is to know what God would have us to do. It's to just praise Him out in the world. That's what the Bible says.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When people says, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Yes, you do. I just told you. That's the will of God. Now, there might be other things you need to do. You know, somebody out here might be struggling with the call to preach. Somebody else might be struggling with the call to go to the mission field. Somebody else might be struggling with the call to go somewhere and advance your spiritual training in a school somewhere. Somebody else might be struggling with being a Sunday school teacher or singing in the choir or coming up here and singing a solo. Whatever it is, friend, just remember that we must obey the plan of God if we expect to be in the will of God.
Amen.
We must. Well, we see their aspirations and their inspiration and their dedication. Talking about singing a song, a solo. I did that one time. And when I was pastor up at Powder Mill Baptist Church, I told the church if we get 100 in Sunday school, I'd sing a solo. And that day came, and I got up. I don't remember what I sang. I don't remember. I just remember I got up and sung a solo, and we never did get 100 again after that. So that'll tell you a little bit about my singing ability. But one of these days, I'll be able to do it. I'll be able to do it. And I'll be able to sing as good as Nathan one of these days. And I praise the Lord for that. I love to sing. I do. When I'm by myself, I sing. I don't want to cause no disruptions or no confusion, so I wait until I'm by myself. But I love to sing.
Right.
I love it. It's a promise of God that one of these days I'm going to be able to sing.
Amen.
It's a promise of God. So I embrace that promise. I embrace it. It's a promise of God that when He gets our mansions built, He's going to come back and get us. That's a promise.
Amen.
From God. I embrace it.
Yes.
It's a promise from God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God. I embrace it. It's a promise from God that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise from God, and I embrace it. I do. Now let's look at their expectations. First of all, their expectations were real. Look in verse 16. He says, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. They desire a better country. The word desire means to reach out. And they were reaching out to a better country. And we see here that they expected the promises of God to be better than what they left. And we need to do the same thing, friend. Anytime that we begin to work for God, it's always going to be better than what we left in the world. You say, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. I had a job back in the world before I started serving the Lord, making $100,000 a year, had a new car every year, I had a nice home, and now that I'm serving God, I'm driving an old Ford and... Forgive me if anybody. Let me rephrase that. Let me say. No, I can't say Rambler because I've got one of them. Anyway. You know what I'm saying. That the promises of God are always better. You may not be able to see it financially. You may not even be able to see it materially. But friends, spiritually, you're going to notice the difference. And the world can't even hold a light to the blessings of God.
You're right, brother.
Can't even hold a light to it. So we see they knew their expectation was real. They desired it. They reached out for it. They had a desire for a better country, and that was a heavenly country. And they knew that was going to be a heavenly country. So they were searching and searching and searching, ready, willing, and able, anxious to get there, anxious to get where God was, anxious to get to that place where God was sending them. And if we, as God's people and God's churches around this world, would just be anxious to get where God's sending us, there'd be revival sweep this country like like never before.
Yes, I believe.
Would.
Amen.
Not only was their expectation real, but their expectation was limitless. Now look in the second part of verse 16. He said, "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Now I want you to notice here that the Bible says that He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It says that many times in Scripture. He says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And it's interesting because He said that many times after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were already deceased and already gone on to heaven. You'd think He'd say, "Well, I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." But no, no, no. He was their God before they died. He's their God after they died. He'll be their God throughout eternity. He said, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And we can place our name in there because we are. God is our God from this point right on forever. He is always our God. He will never be a was.
That's right.
He will never be a was. So we see that their expectation was real and it was limitless. And you know, when we have a God who is always there, always willing to help, always going to be our God, you know, His power is limitless. You know that.
That's right.
And our expectations can be limitless. Our expectations can be limitless because we serve a God that has all power. I mean, the God that we serve spoke the world into existence. My goodness, He spoke the universe and every other universe. He spoke the galaxy into existence.
That's right.
The Bible says that He can hold the seas in the palm of His hand. Imagine that, if you will. He can hold the seas in the palm of His hand. What a God we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
What a God we serve. He's my God.
Yes.
He's my God. He's in my heart. He saved me. The same God that was leading Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the heroes of faith. The same God that promised Abraham so much is the same God today that's looking after me.
Amen.
And looking after you. Then we see something else. Their expectation was complete. In verse 16, "For He hath prepared for them a city."
Amen.
A city. He hath prepared for them a city. I want you to notice something. That's not speculation, by the way. The Bible says He has prepared.
That's right.
He has. Not speculation, not maybe, not going to, not will someday, but He had. He hath prepared for them a city. So we see here that it was complete. It was already finalized. Already finalized. All they had to do was get there. Ours is finalized. All we got to do is get there.
Amen.
All we got to do is get there. But I want you to notice something here. It said, "For He hath prepared for them a city." I did a word study on that word prepare. And in the Greek, and I didn't know this, but back in those days, it was mandatory that they had a road crew. They had a road crew. And any time that they got word that a king was coming through, then that road crew would go out, and every single bump in the road, every pothole, anything that would jar the king in any way, that road crew would work and work and work and work to smooth that road out so that when the king came by, he'd have smooth sailing all the way. And notice what God has done for us, for He hath sent out the road crew to make the way easy for us. That's what it said. He hath prepared the way. Friend, there is no other way except the way through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There is no other way. He has prepared it. He has prepared it. He smoothed out every bump, patched every single pothole, filled up every little crack. I mean, every single thing that would be a hindrance in any way to you being in the will of God and being where you're supposed to be, God hath prepared it.
That's right.
And God has made it the way it needs to be for you to come to Him.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about." I've never had that kind of relationship with the Lord. Well, you can have it today.
Amen.
You can. You say, well, what do I have to do, preacher? Just ask the Lord to save you. He will. Just ask Him to forgive you, and He will. Just tell Him that you're ready to change your life. You want to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and you're ready to turn from your sins, and He'll save you. He will. The Word of God promises that. That if you're sincere in your heart, God will save you.
Amen.
He promised that. He promised it. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, the Lord does. I don't need to know. That's between you and the Lord. You say, Lord, preacher, I've done some atrocious stuff. I've done some stuff to make God sick. I'd say He's seen it all.
You're right.
I'd say He's seen it all. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen.
Not just the clean sins, but the dirty too. Everything that you have ever done in your life that is against the will of God, God can cleanse that from your heart today.
That's right.
Today.
What about
He's God? Making the path. He's preparing the path for you. He's smoothing it out. He's letting you know there's not going to be any hindrances. There's not going to be any bumps today. So that you can come forward today and receive Christ as your Savior. Or that you can come forward today and get in this altar and just get right with Jesus. If there's something in your heart that you know that Jesus is not happy with, you need to come and you need to get that right with God today. But most importantly, if you've never given your heart and life to Christ, if you've never given your heart and life to Christ, and you know in your heart, and whenever they were doing the I was saved on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday, you were just, I know, I've been through this. When I was lost, I thought, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? But now, if you'll just come today, you can always stand up on a Sunday.
That's right.
Always stand up on a Sunday. Why not do that today? Why not come and give your heart to Jesus? You say, preacher, I don't know if I've been saved or not. You can know before you leave here.
That's right.
You'll never ever have to have another doubt in your life. Never have another doubt if you'll just come today and let this pastor pray with you. Those doubts can vanish.
Amen.
So what's the Lord going to do in your life today? He wants to do something. You're here. I don't believe in coincidence, by the way.
That's right.
I believe you're here because God wanted you here. I believe that. And now it's up to you. You know, when God told Abraham what He wanted him to do, Abraham could have said, no, I ain't going. My goodness, you think I'm going out there? And I don't even have a road map, Lord. My GPS is tore up. I don't have a clue how to get there. But God said, I'll show you. And Abraham could have said, I just ain't going. That's just too risky. I ain't going to go. You think Abraham would be listed in Hebrews chapter 11? And see, that's what God's offering you today. That same experience. He's speaking to you just like He did Abraham. Abraham's needs were met because he was obedient to the Lord. And your needs will be met too if you'll just say yes to Jesus. Let's all stand.
Someday I'll be standing in God's city to receive the bright treasures of but how can I ever accept that till I thank Him for what He has done? When I thank Him for what He has done, I must look back to the crucified one. For what He has done. look back, hypocrite.